vacation go to his head. And his wife's aggravation, you soon end up dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance.
Oh, it's so apropos, Brandon Rodriguez. That's how you start a show, unfortunately. Because with the Miami Dolphins, it is the same old story, the same old song and dance. Good morning. How you guys doing out there? Hope you guys are well. We will carry you till 1 o'clock. What do you think, Brandon? What'd you think about that performance yesterday? Can we call it a performance?
I think the song says it all.
I think so, too. Caroline, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I could be better.
What's the deal with the new headphones? You were tripping me out. You had the Aquas, now the Pinks. What's the deal now?
Well, you see, my dad got me these new Beats, and now
I can they're Beats. I can't even tell.
Mm-hmm.
They're
bright pink, and they're 10 times prettier than Brandon's.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt.
Color Dolphins one.
That's right.
Take that, Brandon.
There you go. His is handsome. Yours is pretty. How about that? No? Yes? Maybe?
I don't know. I don't think these are teal, though. You might want to get your eyes checked, Caroline. Yeah, they look pretty blue to me.
Yeah, they're pretty blue.
Kind of
sky blue, right?
They look like what's on the Dolphins jersey.
Huh? It's just blue?
Just blue.
Just blue? I don't know. A little bit of sky in there, I want to say. Anyway, good morning out there. Hope you guys are hanging in there, because I know my Dolphin Nation is hurting. We're all hurting today after another pathetic performance about the Miami Dolphins as they lose to the Ravens 28-13, dropping their record to 7-6, pretty much ending the season because they're not beating New England. I'm sorry. It's not happening. And then they've got Minnesota and the Jets. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if they split those games between Minnesota and the Jets. I would not be. At the end of the year, I'm not going to be shocked if they happen to lose one of those two games.
Minnesota looked pretty good against the Jets yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Miami barely beat the Jets, and Minnesota handled the Jets. So, you never know. I mean, we'll see. And you know Teddy Bridgewater is going to want that game here in South Florida. Kind of like some guy named Elvis Dumervil from Jackson High. Yeah, I think he wanted that game yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens as they just dominated the Dolphins. Dolphins with a terrific start in that first quarter. We're feeling good. Three straight three and outs for Baltimore. You're like, okay, the defense came to play. And then all of a sudden, second quarter on, the wheels came off. And you got that feeling when they put together that 97-yard drive to end the first half to put seven on the board and you went into halftime 10-7, I felt totally deflated at that point. I was like, are you kidding me? This is how you're going to end the first half? After all of that, you're only up by 3 points at home against the team that's had your number. And sure enough, they had their number. I think I want to say the stat is that the Ravens had 22 yards, total yards, in the first quarter. After that, they put together 425 yards. I mean, it's crazy. They outscored Miami 28-3 in the final three quarters. And please, don't start calling about the referees. I heard some of that on Joe's show. They lost because they've got no guts, man. It's a gutless team. And it's a fraudulent team. And every time a tough test comes along, they lose. And I've been trying to break down the record for you guys the entire season, okay? The win against New England was fraudulent. They sucked in the first half, and they put together a second half that they've never been able to match ever again. They absolutely dominated. They ran the ball with No'Shawn Moreno, and they don't have No'Shawn. So they were never that kind of running team ever again for the rest of the season. And New England had just traded away their guard. They're still trying to find their way on offense. Gronkowski wasn't even himself. That's the one of the few quality wins on the schedule, along with the San Diego one that they put together four quarters. Outside of that, your wins are Oakland, Chicago, Jacksonville, Buffalo, and the Jets. And by the way, this Buffalo win that they have is a bogus win because they had no Freddie Jackson, they had no C.J. Spiller, Sammy Watkins was banged up. At that point, they weren't even the same team you met the first time around when they handed you your ass. Oh, and by the way, just so any of you out there, every crappy team has a good win. You know, Brandon, Oakland's 2-11. You know where they got their victories? Kansas City and San Francisco. Two teams with winning records.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, they're two wins. Bucks are 2-11. You know who they beat out of one of their two wins? Pitt. The Titans are 2-11. You know who's one of the two teams they beat? KC. The Jets, they're 2-11. You know who's one of the good teams they beat? Pittsburgh.
Meanwhile, didn't we lose to KC?
Yes, badly.
So two bad teams.
Right.
One which we beat KC.
Washington, 3-10. They got a good win on their three wins. Dallas. Okay? Falcons are 5-7. They beat Arizona. So, I mean, the fact that they have a good win on their roster with San Diego, that out of their seven wins, that's the only game they played that was complete. The New England game in the first week is a complete fluke. Break their schedule down. The Dolphins have beaten nobody. That's why they are nobodies. That's why they're middle of the road, and that's why they bend over like a cheap-ass chair in the beach. You know those hollow aluminum-type chairs that you would buy?
At the corner store.
Yeah, exactly, and you can only use it a couple times.
With a foam cooler.
Like maybe the second time you go, exactly, the second time you go to the beach with both things, that cheap-ass chair and that foam cooler, that's it. They crack up and they break, and you're like, well, at least we used it a couple times. That's the Dolphins right there. That's who they are. They go up against Detroit, they fold like a little bitch. They go up against Green Bay, and they fold like a little bitch. They go up against Denver, and they fold like a little bitch. And they go up against Baltimore, and they fold once again like a little bitch. So enough with the defense. The defense is a bunch of sorry-ass dudes that cannot meet any kind of challenge whatsoever. The Dolphins are a bunch of frauds. That's what they are. They're frauds. They're Dennis Green. They're exactly what I knew they were. Middle of the road, mediocre in this league. That's what they are. That's what they've always been under Stephen Ross, and that's what they're always going to be under Stephen Ross. Why? Because he keeps Sperano around too long, and he's keeping this guy, Joe Philbin, around too long that has no balls whatsoever. Yesterday, John Harbaugh goes for a fourth and short on his own 35, basically telling the Dolphin defense, you ain't crap. We can smack you around whenever we want. There's a joke I could use right there, but I'm not going to use it because it would be in poor taste. Anyway.
And they were doing everything they could early on to give us the game.
Yes. Yeah.
Settled for two field goals.
Yeah. And they threw the interception. Right after he threw a touchdown to Steve Smith Sr., by the way, and he dropped it. Okay? He drops a touchdown, then he throws that lazy interception that R.J. Stanford was able to, you know, pick off. But then when he needed a drive, he picked the Dolphin defense apart. And what is it, 660-something yards they've allowed on the ground in the last three games?
Which is a franchise record.
I mean, it's just, it's absolutely disgusting. Everybody on that defense should be so embarrassed. All right, it's the late great Mad Dog. Stare at your shoelaces. When you walk outside your house, if you're a Miami Dolphins player, don't look at anyone in the eye. You're not allowed to. I mean, it's absolute garbage to see what the Dolphins are. They're gutless. They have no balls whatsoever. None. They're not tough at all. They're a bunch of bullies. Oh, we're playing Jacksonville and Oakland. Yeah, let's beat them up. But when we come up against the good teams, we're going to fold like little bitches. We're going to run and hide because we're not good enough. Because that's what the Dolphins are. Nothing's changed. They can win the next two out of three games, okay, because they play the Jets and the Vikings and they want to be bullies and pick up 9 wins, they're going nowhere. And it means nothing. The only reason they're picking up 9 wins, it's because the league is so mediocre and so average that they're part of that mediocre and average group. So they're able to fish out a couple of scrub wins more than somebody else. That's all this means. The coaches, and let me tell you something. Here's the disturbing part. You got players on this team. I believe there are players on this team that can be winners. Problem is, they've got no leadership whatsoever. When your offensive line gets manhandled the way they did, when your defensive line gets manhandled the way they did, that's all you need to know about what Miami's all about. And that's where they won and lost this game. Look, we could get into the whole debate about Ryan Tannehill. He's not good enough. He'll never be good enough. He's nothing but an athletic game manager. And some of you are now starting to realize that. It's nice. It's really nice because like the man that precedes me, Joe Rose, 2 weeks ago he was calling me stupid about my man in the box thing. And now Joe Rose is the one that sounds like a complete moron because last week he called it a 10-yard box, and now he has obviously come over to my side and he has realized that there is a man in a box. And by the way, I commend those of you on Twitter and Facebook that have finally realized that I'm not hating and I'm not rooting against or any of that stupid-ass thing that some of you blind-ass fans come up with. Oh, picked against us.
Can we change Ryan Tannehill's name to Jack?
Why?
Jack in the Box.
Oh, Jack in the Box. Man in the Box.
Jack Tannehill.
Nice. You know, he could be the new spokesman for the burger company, Jack in the Box.
There you go.
That's not bad.
Put that little foam head on him.
Put the little foam head on him. There you go.
Mascot head.
Little suit. I like it.
A little, like, birthday-looking hat.
That's it. Tannehill.
Ryan Jack Tannehill.
But it's nice to know that some of you are now realizing what you see with the man in the box. And by the way, enough with the throw to Wallace. Do you realize that he was going in one direction and the ball went wide? Do you guys think he's the roadrunner? That he can stop, cut on a dime, and go towards the football? You're running in one direction and the ball goes to your right side for about 5 yards away. It's hard to just turn and go dive for it. Oh, no, he should have dove for it. He should have hit the brakes and dove sideways to get that. It was a bad pass. Live with it. That's who you have at quarterback. And he's not really the reason why you lost yesterday, by the way. He's just mediocre and he'll never bail you out of anything. Nice kid, never get arrested, you know, he's tough as hell, took another beating yesterday, he's not a little bitch like RG3 pointing fingers, doesn't throw anybody under the bus. Ryan Tannehill's a man, okay? I'll give you all of that. He'll never be a quarterback, but he's a man. That I'll give you. But as long as you have him leading your offense, he is going to Tannehill everything you're all about offensively. It's just an absolute joke. Now, here's the thing. Stephen Ross needs to wake the hell up because before Cam Wake gets old, okay, before you start ruining other players' careers, you have some players here. I watched Jim Harbaugh take over basically the same team Mike Singletary had and make them into winners. I watched Bruce Arians go over to Arizona and basically get the same guys and just trade for Carson Palmer and make it into the playoffs and win 10 games. So don't tell me you can't turn things around right away. I don't want to hear that garbage. And I don't want to hear that loser talk. Oh, let's hang in there with Philbin. And No. I've seen enough of this guy. He should have been fired last year. He's a cigar store mannequin. He makes no difference whatsoever on your football team. He's a horrible game day coach. He has no guts whatsoever. Stephen Ross, wake the hell up. And I'm not talking about Cam Wake. I'm saying wake the hell up. Fire everyone. and get somebody in here that actually can coach, because Coach Coyle is an absolute joke. Joe Philbin is an absolute joke. And so far, Stephen Ross, you, sir, are also an absolute joke. Now, we can't fire your ass, and we can't force you to sell, but hell, do the right thing. For once, hire the right people. Turn my beloved franchise around. I'm tired of watching losers. I'm tired of watching chokers on Sunday, because that's what the Miami Dolphins are. They're losers. They're chokers. They never, ever step up. They got no guts. Nothing. That's why I can pick against them, even though my heart is rooting for them yesterday. But then I got to hear the blind-ass idiots, oh, O's picking against us. He must be rooting against us. No, I'm not rooting against you, moron. I'm just picking reality. I have to pick with my eyes, not with my heart. My heart wants the Dolphins to win 16-0. But my eyes tell me it's nothing but an 8-8, sorry-ass, choking team. And guess what they are? An 8-8, sorry-ass, choking team. Now, they never choke at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. That's why they've been number one, as in the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States now for four straight years. Are you listening to me? How about you guys out there for the Miami Dolphins? Anybody listening in that franchise? Why don't you sell the team to Craig Zinn? I bet you he'll make them number one, because he knows how to make number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States. Larry Schlossberg, Pat Nasto, Tony Stampone, they're getting it done, baby. The ILX, $149 a month. RDX and TLX, $279. MDX and RLX, $399. $29.95 do it signing, plus tax tag and registration, or 0% financing and no payments until next year for qualified buyers. And they've also got a fleet of certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're in outstanding shape. You got to check it out for yourself, folks. And they've got used cars, all makes, all models, to fit all kinds of budgets. Get on down there, experience for yourself why they are number one. Their service center, if you own an Acura, that's where you want it serviced. Go see my man Mike Chan, Jordan Ferber, all the great guys at the service department. They are second to none. Take it from a guy that's been experiencing it himself for the last 4 years as they take care of my TSX, and they do a great job. 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 in Pines. Finest dealership in the business, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines.
All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you till 1, and Coop and Crowder will take over at that point. As always, we are loaded today. Miko Grimes is going to stop by at 11. Pat Sertan will join us at 11:40. Former Dolphin great, of course. Sean Salisbury will stop by at noon. That is your guest list for today. And by the way, QAM is proud to present the third annual Channing Crowder Holiday Toy Drive to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Broward County. Join the entire QAM on-air crew Tuesday the 16th, and we'll be broadcasting live from the NFL Yet Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale, and we're looking for new unwrapped toys to donate to the kids at the Boys and Girls Club this holiday season. For more details on the third annual Channing Crowder Holiday Toy Drive, visit our events page at WQAM.com. All right, there you go. All right, I know we've got people that are waiting. If you guys want to get in, 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it, pound 560. If you're driving around with that cell phone in your hand, the Plumbers 911 text line 56121. And you can reach out to me also on Twitter at Big O Show. All right, let's go here to the phones. Marcus is in San Francisco. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, man, I can hear you all the way clear across the country.
I like it, baby. Apps are a beautiful thing, aren't they?
Hey, love it. Hey, you know what? There's so many nightmare storylines. Really, my initial call is going to talk about the offense, but you got me inspired on Philbin. You know, you mentioned Arians. This guy's winning with Stanton at quarterback.
Yep.
There's really no ingenuity at all. You know, they're calling timeouts for Rodgers so he can actually get his play right. I mean, Philbin is just all over the place as a head coach. There's a reason why this guy really was never given any opportunity, even in college, to coach, because he really hadn't shown the capability, I think, as a leader.
And Marcus, the fact that nobody knew his ass,
That's why he has sorry-ass assistant coaches. He already had to fire his offensive coordinator. He brings in Lazor. And by the way, I'm done with Lazor, too, already. Him and his little rinky-dink offense, he's not making any progress whatsoever. He's not making Tannehill any better anyway. So I'm done with him. And Coach Coyle absolutely sucks as a defensive coordinator.
You know, I when I first saw them first and two from the goal line, and they're going into a shotgun formation. Initially, I just thought, well, maybe I'm old school, you know, get the fullback,
right,
drop a couple more tight ends in there, you know, let's man up and let's get in there. And they're passing with 2 yards to go. And, you know, Tannehill, I was one of those that kind of stuck by him a little and tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. He hadn't had the reps in college, you know, gets the pros, give him some time. But it just seems like his footwork is never going to be right. He's not able to get it under pressure. You know, it doesn't help that the offensive line is horrendous. But, you know, it really, I think the only person that I would actually stand by within this organization right now from a leadership standpoint is Hickey. He had a decent draft. I think you got to kind of keep him around.
Listen, Marcus, I've got a philosophy. Anybody can have a good month, a good week, a good year, and that goes for Dennis Hickey. I don't trust him either, by the way. Oh, and his $5 million investment in Courtland Finnegan, who's been injured the last 2 years, has not paid off. His investment in No'Shawn Moreno has not paid off. I know the draft, that's gone well the first two rounds. By the way, your third-round pick, who you desperately need right now, he's not good enough to take the field, and that's the offensive lineman, Billy Turner. Nothing's perfect out there, and neither is Dennis Hickey. So let's not spin it like he's the second coming. He did a nice job, but I'm going to chalk it up more to luck than anything else. I don't know if this guy has a track record. If I can find a better GM, I'm going to hire him, and I'm going to let him hire his head coach. What I don't want to do is tie myself to a guy in Dennis Hickey that has no track record whatsoever, and now I'm going to also tell him, go get your head coach. I don't trust that. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I agree with you 110% in that. The only reason I mentioned Hickey is just because he's the only one who's probably had any success relatively within the organization.
And that's my problem with our Dolphin Nation, that we settle for any little bit of success and we have no more standards anymore.
Well, you know, okay, so you look at the Golden State Warriors. Okay, you got a guy who led them to the playoffs last year. They fired him because he didn't get them to where they wanted to go, which was the second round. You got Jim Harbaugh out here who's been to, you know, two NFC championships and a Super Bowl, and he'll be fired by the end of the year.
Yeah, but you're, again, hold on a second. But, Marcus, that's apples and oranges. Thanks for the phone call. But those are two people that don't get along with the owner. Mark Jackson didn't get along with the owner. And Jim Harbaugh doesn't get along with anybody, the owner or the GM. That's why they're gone. Oh, we were going to we'll do that in the next segment. I'm sorry. We'll do Caroline's headlines in the next segment. Nate, what's up?
What's going on, Big O? Why don't you tell us how you really feel about it?
Yeah, we'll tell you. Exactly. One day I'll express my real feelings.
My thing is, I look at the coaching and the adjustments, and you look back from a couple of weeks. It seems like since that Denver game, everybody's attacking us in the middle. With our blitz, that you know, the same old middle blitz, they're waiting for it and picking it up, giving the quarterbacks just enough time to complete those passes across the middle. I mean, I know it's doom and gloom Monday, but, I mean, I see some progress and some of the things they're doing. I just think they just need to expand on it, you know, being a little more creative with their defenses and as well as the offense.
Well, let me ask you something, Nate. What the hell makes you think that Coach Coyle's going to get any better after three seasons?
That I don't, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm just saying instead of, you know, we always saying blow up. Now, I do believe that Silver needs to go. We need to upgrade at the defensive coordinator position. But I think we have players in place now that if we have better coaching, I think you'll see better results.
That I agree with. That's why you need to change now. Because I believe you have players on this team that can play. They just have no leadership whatsoever.
Okay, we're on the same page with that. You know, I mean, I was, you know, I'm down just like everybody else. But, I mean, I guess until those things happen, I guess we'll be the same side of 8-8, as you say. So have a good day. Thank you.
You got it, Nate. Thank you for the phone call. Chris is in Delray. Chris, what's happening?
Big O, what's happening, man?
Yes, sir, my friend.
Listen, so much to say, and I listened to everybody. I was trying to get in last night into your show and even today. And you know, here's the thing. We can all pile on and stuff, and I try to identify because I'm limited to the time I have in the show. But I guess what bothers me is there's no urgency with this organization from the top down. It's everybody wants to win. Now, we haven't had a winner here in a long time. And then you take the game yesterday. That was, in essence, a playoff game. You're playing your way in.
Right.
You're in a good position to get in, and there's no urgency. And you look at Harbaugh, you say, going for it on 4th-and-1. And I've said this for years, and I listen to some pro players, and then some people even tell me, like, guys in the pros, they don't like these rah-rah type guys. And I get that to a point. But you can't tell me that guys like that don't have success. Gruden had it. You look at Pete Carroll the way he is with his team. You look at Harbaugh, both brothers, the way they are with their team. I mean, now Jim in San Francisco, there's a little bit of a difference. But you still can't tell me. And I know Philbin might be a nice guy, whatever, but dude, this team, there's no energy. There's no urgency yesterday. And as far as, like, even goes into the assistants, Bill Lazor yesterday, you got Baltimore coming down here. It's been colder up there, right? So you figure you're going to try to take advantage of the weather a little bit, wear them out. You were doing well in that first quarter. Where was this up-tempo offense when you had those guys kind of tired a little bit? I saw Pernell McPhee, he was kind of gassed a little bit. It looked like they was injured, but they're trying to probably get a timeout and didn't want to use it. Where was stepping on the gas and trying something, trying to go up 17-0? There's never any urgency with this team.
Well, because they got no guts on this team, my man. I appreciate the phone call. That's why. They got no guts. This isn't a mentally tough team. This is a weak, fragile team with poor leadership. And it starts with Joe Philbin. He is as weak as they come as a head coach. QAM and Tiger Direct want to hook you up, baby, this holiday season. Keep listening to the Big O Show all week long for your chance to win a brand new LG LED HD TV from Tiger Direct. And, of course, we will be registering listeners all week long, so make sure you're tuned in right here to the show. It's the Big Screen Holiday Giveaway from QAM and Tiger Direct, your connection to awesome technology. Good luck and happy holidays from everyone here at 560 QAM.
In history, Mike D.
Don't forget, you can join the QAM Street Team with Corona this Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4 at the Walmart located at 13600 or 13600 Southwest 288th Street in Homestead. Stop by to win prizes and register to win a Corona Ultimate College Football Experience, which includes lower bowl tickets to this year's Orange Bowl game. There you go. So make sure you're partying with us, baby. Corona, QAM, Walmart, which Walmart, by the way, proud sponsor of the 12th annual Big O Show Toy Drive. We love that. We've got 20 Walmarts in Dade and Broward County participating. We'll give you more of that information as the program goes on. I do want to remind you that the Big O Show is proudly brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank, and love talking about Michael Kotze because he's made life so much easier for so many of our listeners over the years here on my show. And I got to tell you, listen, this is why you want to call him. If you've got a bad deal going on right now, maybe you're paying 5-6%, we can get you into a fixed mortgage rate under 3.5% with down payments as low as 3.5%, even if you have bad credit. He's got a staff that is amazing. They will work with you, try to fix those credit issues, get you back on track to live that American dream. What are you waiting for, folks? 561-441-2730. And that is Michael Kotze's personal cell number, 561-441-2730. And they do it all, man. Wholesale, conventional, residential loans, condo loans, reverse mortgages, jumbo loans, FHA, VA loans. Call them for free qualification and consultation. And even if, let me tell you, if you're a military veteran, zero down, that's 100% financing. So if you're getting that runaround from the mortgage company or you've been declined by your bank, call Michael Kotze right now. And again, it's his personal cell number, 561-441-2730. He took care of us. He will take care of you. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender and MLS 166254. It's Choice Mortgage Bank. All right. Let's see. We are now going to a little Caroline's Headlines.
It's time for Caroline's Headlines.
Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning. You know what I did yesterday?
What did you do yesterday besides getting new headphones?
I actually tried to watch the Dolphins game again.
I watched it last night. I went to sleep at 2 in the morning watching the game again.
Yeah. And you know,
I'm an idiot, I know.
I don't know why we do this to ourselves. I don't know.
I love the Dolphins, and I want to watch, and I want to be able to talk about it. So I rewatched it again yesterday.
Well, you think we got problems.
Okay.
At least our quarterback is likable.
Yes, he is.
Can't say the same thing for RG3. Players are talking. And one thing everyone seems to agree on is that he's a spoiled diva who cares more about branding himself than winning.
That's right.
You know, his team doesn't trust him, and he's not doing anything about it, which sucks. I mean, you should want to have your team behind you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
you earned that. That's the thing. He hasn't earned it.
One player went as far to say, I don't see him being in the NFL for that long. I think he goes into politics. He's good at that kind of thing. Ouch.
Yeah.
Burn.
Throwing people under the bus, lying, bitching, whining. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. politician.
Yeah.
All right. Headline numero dos.
You guys remember Shaq being sworn in as a reserve cop in
Miami? Yes. I remember him breaking into the wrong house, too, to arrest somebody, and it was the wrong house. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Mark Wahlberg is on his way to do the same thing in L.A.
Marky Mark? How about the Fun Bunch? Are they going to become cops, too?
The Funky Bunch.
Oh, it's the Funky Bunch. I'm sorry. Mixed it up with the Redskins Fun Bunch. I'm sorry.
Yeah, get that
showing
right.
My age, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, at least he's going to try, this Mark Wahlberg. He has filed legal documents in Boston with the Massachusetts Parole Board asking to expunge his 1988 felony assault conviction. He just happened to beat the hell out of two men and left one partially blind.
Look, and I know that we got officers listening. I know plenty of them. But and you got to make a living, and I respect it, and you're all underpaid. But if you're Marky Mark Wahlberg and you're Shaquille O'Neal, why would you want to be a cop?
I
hate to put it this way. It's one of the most thankless jobs in the world. Mm-hmm. We underpay these people. We don't appreciate them. Just like teachers, we don't appreciate them. They're underpaid.
For them, it's not about getting paid, though. For them, they can do whatever they want. They have enough money for lifetimes.
Yeah, but
they don't need to be thanked. It's probably when they were a kid, they wanted to be a cop one day, and then they went on to become millionaires in something else other than being a cop or
right.
a teacher or a nurse, whatever the case may be. And so they're just fulfilling a childhood dream.
I just, you know, I feel bad for cops as it is, man, because I know so many, and one that grew up in my neighborhood and used to protect our neighborhood all the time, he died. He was killed by some crack addict who he pulled over. It was a moving violation, a traffic violation, right next to a cemetery, by the way, off of 8th Street and 32nd. He pulls a guy over, and it's like a routine stop. And on his way to the car, the guy pulls out a gun and blows him away. Yeah. And so just to me, it's just being a cop is so difficult. And I know that right now, you know, especially in Missouri, cops aren't viewed the right way.
Yeah.
But I think I'm of the belief that 90-something% of our cops are good people and they want to do the right thing.
But it's those few that make them look so bad.
We have bad broadcasters that are evil people, okay? All right? That they get arrested too and they're doing illegal stuff. We have bad teachers. We have bad politicians. There's a bad bunch of apples in every group that there is out there. You got good politicians and you got some bad politicians, okay? So for me, I've met so many good cops that I know that they're good cops.
Yeah.
I obviously, sadly, there's always a couple of idiots that ruin it for everybody else. But it's just for me, if you're that rich, you're that famous, you want to do
it. Why put your life on the line?
Yes, exactly. Why put your life on the line when you don't have to, is my point. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, Pat Tillman wanted to be a...
He wanted to go to the military.
Soldier,
yeah,
right?
He wanted to be a soldier. He wanted to serve his country.
It might be about that, though.
And I commend
it. Might be about service.
I commend it. I really do, because I think all teachers, most teachers, and I think most cops, their hearts are in the right place. Like firemen, you know, their hearts are in the right place. They want to serve. But at the same time, it's such an underappreciated. Firemen, too, man. We don't appreciate the fact that they're risking their lives. They don't do it every day, But those few times a year when they are risking their lives, we're not thinking about it. We don't care. You know, so it, I don't know. I just, if I'm those kind of people, I may want to help out cops in other ways, but I don't know if I want to be a cop. You know what I mean? Mm. All right, go ahead. Headline number, Tress.
All right, now I want your guys' opinion. Tell me if this was a good thing or a bad thing. A guy is sitting behind a couple at a Lions game, all right?
Okay.
And he notices that the wife, who may be 8 months pregnant or just may be particularly large, don't know, is texting on her phone a lot while her husband is just watching the game. You know, he's there for the football game, obviously. He's focused.
Okay.
So then, but every single time he turns over to give her a hug or to talk to her, she kind of hides that phone away, you know, just kind of like sneaky. So then he looks at her phone, the guy behind her, and notices that she's texting a guy named Jason saying, hey, I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you when I leave this guy. So this guy behind the couple.
The guy behind the couple.
Thinks up, let me just write a letter and slip it to this woman's husband. And so he says in the letter, you don't know me, I don't know you. But when you get home, check your wife's phone because she's texting a guy named Jason, wishing she was with him and not with you. And that's it. No one knows what happened afterwards. The guy behind the couple took a photo of the woman texting on her phone and a picture of the note that he gave the guy and just wrote, you know, something on his Twitter or his Facebook and said, you know, I was a little bit tipsy, but I don't care. It felt good. I hate fake people. And I get it. His heart was maybe in the right place.
Yeah, no, his heart's in the right place. He's looking out for the other guy, but that's none of your business.
I mean, look, I'm sorry. Listen, the woman should not be cheating.
Of course,
no one should be cheating. If you don't want to be in the relationship, just get the hell out of it.
Right.
You don't cheat. Just get out. Out. Bye.
That's it. History in the archives.
But, I mean, it's also...
Would you do that, Brandon? Would you rat on somebody you have no idea?
I've seen something like that happen right in front of me, and I didn't know the guy well enough, but I was with some of his friends that knew him, and I'm like, you need to say something here. You need to say something, and nobody did. And I was like, I know if it was me and other people witnessed it, I would want them to tell me.
Were they doing the Dougie?
That's exactly what they were doing. They were too busy doing the Dougie, and they were like, you know
but
what?
You knew
this
that
is
going
to kill my vibe. I'm trying to do my Dougie dance. But no, I'd want to know. So, I mean, even
I'd
if it's a complete
know too,
stranger.
But I would not do it for a stranger because I have no idea what that relationship is like.
Right. That's kind of
how I
thought.
Maybe they have an open relationship. Maybe they have an open relationship. I don't know. Maybe the guy's abusive. You mentioned that off the air. What about if they get home? Let me see your phone, bitch. Whack, boom, bye, boom. Janae Rice all over again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would imagine if they're abusive, it's going to happen at one time or the other. So
what about you ratting out, she dies?
There could be so many things that happen.
That's why I'm not touching it.
And like I told you,
now,
if someone's cheating, you're going to eventually figure it out that they're cheating because you know what? The signs are there.
Now, if it's your best friend, what do you do?
Oh, that's different.
That's what I was trying to say. Somebody, this is your buddy. Somebody step up and say something. Nobody did anything.
I have no problem if it's your best friend and you tell him. I have no problem because you're looking out for your buddy.
And you know that situation. You know the relationship. You know nothing's going to happen except that your buddy's going to be with a better person down the road.
Yep.
And you get rid of the one who's cheating.
Yep. I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Miko Grimes, wife of Brent Grimes, is going to join us, so we'll talk about that disappointing loss at the hands of the Ravens. But right now, we want to register somebody to win an LG LED HD TV. And remember, you're registering right now to win. You're not winning the TV. We're putting you in to register to win that television. Right now, caller number 5 to the QAM contest line, 1-800-227-0560. Right now, registers to win an LG LED HG TV right here, thanks to our friends at Tiger Direct. Not easy, man. It's not easy. Just like, listen, if you own a home or a condo and you've had a recent flood there, it's not easy. Pipes break, washing machine breaks down. You know you got to take immediate action. And this is why you've got to call my friends at Paul Davis Restoration. Listen, whether it's your home or your business, you got to dry everything within 3 days of the flood. Typically, your property can be saved, but if you wait longer, folks, mold can occur. And this is why I recommend Paul Davis Restoration, the most talented mold remediation and water mitigation experts in the country, folks. They have over 300 offices nationwide, so you know that they're a company with knowledge and experience, and they're going to get the job done right. And listen, if you're coughing and you're sneezing in a certain room in your house, you may have elevated mold spores. Better take care of that, folks. Their techs will go through a rigorous training and testing in their national training center, and they use the latest state-of-the-art equipment to create a mold-free environment in your home or business. So if that's going on in your house right now, you're coughing, you're sneezing, something's going on in that room. You may have a leak. Maybe it's the AC pipe might be leaking somewhere inside that room. You know, you don't see it on the in the inside, but inside the walls, the mold may be building up there. This is why you want to call Paul Davis, folks. And in the event of a fire, the quicker you react, the quicker Paul Davis Restoration can actually save the contents in your home, from the furniture to the clothing. They can clean your property either on site or at their cleaning facility. And I've been to their facility, and it is state of the art, folks. Look, let's face it. They're the guys you don't want to meet. But in the times of emergency, you're going to be glad that you did, folks. So give them a ring and tell them that Big O sent you. 888-4-PDR now. That's 888-4-PDR now, which is Paul Davis Restoration. That's PDR. 888-4-PDR now. That's, of course, visit them also at pdrestorations.com. Do yourself a favor, folks. Call Paul Davis Restorations now. You know what I love? I love people that make excuses. Like, I got one guy just sent a text. Oh, well, the blocking. You guys, like, you forget that blocking's not important. Of course blocking's important. But he's trying to make it sound like Ryan Tannehill can't make any plays because they're not blocking.
See Andrew Luck.
For him. Exactly. See Andrew Luck. Go watch the game yesterday. Andrew Luck plays behind a worse line than Ryan has for three straight years. And he's headed for double-digit wins. He's headed for the playoffs once again. Enough of this crap already. You want a real QB? Get a real QB. You want a make-believe quarterback and a athletic game manager? Stick to Ryan Tannehill, and you won't win anything in this league. Alan, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Big O?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to man up and apologize to you about all that shirtless Tanny crap, you know. I was a blind fan, and you know, I'm done with him. You know, he can't throw the ball further than Miami's playoff hopes, and I can't stand it. This coaching staff, and I understand what Ms. Miko was saying earlier about it's not the coaches, it's the players. I just believe, just like with the Hurricanes, they don't believe in the coaches because they do stupid stuff like go away from the run after Miller's tearing them up, and I'm done with him. And by the way,
if you have a crappy or you have a mediocre passing quarterback, you definitely want a running game to help set him up.
Yes, and I just don't understand. But I'm gonna tell you, the bright side of that game yesterday, the only person who stepped up was Sturgis, and he was kicking the ball out the end zone, man.
Right, yeah, that's true.
I was surprised to see that.
How
man.
About that? You're right about that, Alan. Thank you, my brother.
Appreciate it.
By the way, the Latin-looking chick in Price is Right today, off the chain, dude. Off the chain. Every morning we're having Price is Right on this show. Every morning. Wow, she is smoking. She's got this silver and black dress on. Woo! Doggy, those thighs. Eddie, what's happening? Eddie, what's the word?
What's going on, buddy?
Just loving life, watching The Price is Right.
Hey man, I'm looking at this game yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I'm thinking this Dolphin team reminds me so much of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they had Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy kind of lined those guys up a little bit to understand, hey, this is business. This is not no more play time. But they needed a Gruden to get them over the hump, where it's like, oh man, Tampa Bay is they erupted, even though it didn't last for a long term success. But this Dolphin team is loaded with talented players. If we can get another draft of another good first round and another good second round, not bad, but like you said, it all comes down to the quarterback. Honestly, this is Stephen Ross' time to make a big move because he's having a new stadium. No way you're going to have a new stadium and people still not confident in your team. You're selling a bad product, and he's a billionaire for doing good things like this. Draft Marcus Mariota, and let's get the show on the road because Tannehill ain't going to get it done. And I'm watching this playoff college football. This is going to be real interesting. All this nonsense about the quarterback, it's a waste of time. We're never going to go anywhere until we fix that first problem. Now hang up and hear you out.
You got it, Eddie. Thank you for the phone call. The Mariota thing, Dolphins have won too many games to get Mariota. They would have to trade a boatload and a world to get to him, and I don't think they will. So we can definitely drop that. But you should draft a quarterback every year until you find one. Damien is in Hollywood. Damien, what's the word, my man?
What's up, Big O? Same story with this Dolphin team, man. Same story. Just a different calendar year. Ryan Tannehill is not a quarterback. He's a garbage. Dallas Thomas don't need to put on a football uniform. They just need to shut this damn team down. And Big O, I don't know, did you watch Monday Night Football last week when they brought Don Shula on national TV?
Yeah.
And asking him about, do you think it's in the right direction and Don Shula gets on national TV? Well, I think Joe's doing a good job, Don. I mean, it's so political. Do you think Don Shula really believes, or do you think he's just giving an answer?
No, he's just giving an answer, dude. An answer. Don Shula's not going to be ripping anybody on the Dolphins at this point in time at his age. Yeah, it's a
thank you.
Please.
You know, they need to get rid of the whole team. Like I said, Big was a false reality. It's like trying to fill a bucket that has a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to get full. It's the same story, just a different calendar year. We just flip the calendar like we do at the end of each the new year, man. It's crazy.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill is not a quarterback. You can't teach talent. Did you see Cleveland yesterday?
Yes, I watched it.
Indianapolis was down by 15 or 20. And Drew Lock gets knocked down more than Ryan Tannehill this year, I believe. But guess what? He wins the game because that's talent. You can't teach talent. You're born with talent. The guy is garbage. He's horrendous.
And by the way, Andrew Luck plays with a worse offensive line and no running backs. They have no running backs there. Okay?
Thank you.
But Andrew Luck is a real quarterback, and Ryan Tannehill is not.
Thank you.
You got it, Damien. Appreciate it. I think that thank you is a pretty good drop. Let's go to Tony in Fort Pierce.
Yo, what's happening?
Not much. I'm just waving at the babe in The Price is Right. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, Big O, unfortunately, I don't have to apologize, Big O, because I've been on this with you since you've been preaching about it. You know, I'm 42, Big O, and my grandmother, my father have been Dolphin fans. So I've been born into being a Dolphin fan. So a buddy of mine is a blind ass Dolphin fan, and he thinks that he's more of a Dolphin fan because he's a blind ass Dolphin fan, and I'm a realist.
No, that's
just like you, Big O.
Yeah, that's just like the guy. Listen,
I've been listening to you since you were at the station. Left, come back, and like I called and told you before. In the beginning, I never seen eye to eye with you, but then after I started listening, and it's the truth, and you've been speaking the truth about this guy, and we get exposed. People don't realize that we can do it for a quarter, we can do it for two quarters, but good teams figure it out and expose us. And it's bad when you can sit there and see the commentators. Everybody sees it. And my buddy, you know, he's calling me first quarter, telling me, look, he is an NFL quarterback. Look. And then in the fourth quarter, you won't answer his phone. You know what I mean?
Hey, that's fine. I'll have plenty of people that, unlike Alan who called in, very few Alans will call in and admit that, hey, you know what, I didn't look at the kid the right way. But it's like the guy that thinks because he has season tickets, he's a bigger fan than the guy that watches it at home. The guy that watches it at home is just as big a fan as the guy that has season tickets.
Exactly.
It's just one guy can afford it, the other guy can't, or the guy chooses not to pay for it.
They go, if there's anybody that wants to see the Dolphins do good, it's you.
Damn,
you know,
right.
I mean? And then, you know, you're a Dolphins fan, just like me. So, but they can't just hear that, hey, you're speaking the damn truth, because you're not a blind ass fan, man. And it just now seems like this that everybody should call in and give you props, just like Alan. I give him props for giving you props, because you know what I mean? Open your eyes and realize that we're all Dolphin fans, but you know what? Some of us want to fix this thing and not just keep nodding our heads.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah, so I'm with you. Tony, thank you for the phone call. I got to let you go because we're loaded. But, yeah, I'm with you all the way on that. And it's frustrating. It really is frustrating. And nobody wants them to win more than I do. Nobody. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all the crap that we've got to deal with every single year. By the way, you could join the QAM Street Team this Sunday afternoon for a Corona watch party at the Sports Grill located at 1005 Southwest 72nd Street in Miami. You could stop by and watch Miami take on New England and enjoy 11.99 pitchers of Corona and Corona Light all game long. Plus, you can win prizes, including a Tiger Direct LG LED HD TV and a stainless steel Corona cooler. Kickoff will be at 1 o'clock. And right now, we want to register you to win a new LG LED HD TV from our friends at Tiger Direct, folks. All you got to do right now is be caller number 5 right now to the QM contest line, 1-800-227-0560. That's 1-800-227-0560. Thanks to our friends at Tiger Direct, your connection to awesome technology. Next up, it is former Dolphin great Pat Surtain. Something new.
Something new. Stop. Drop.
Shut them down. Open up shop. Oh.
No. That's how rough riders roll.
Remember Mike Lowell used to play this song when he'd come to the plate?
His walk-up song.
This is his walk-up song.
Oh, no.
I love DMX, dude. I love his crazy ass because he is nuts. I wish I would have caught him in concert, like on his
before he was all messed up.
Yeah, before he just figured out that crack was whack. You know that.
Every time I hear that song, though, I think of Chris Rock in the movie Down to Earth.
Okay.
You've seen it. You know what I'm
okay.
talking about?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Funny.
Definitely. All right, time to talk to my man Pat Surtain. You can catch Pat and myself after every Dolphins game, and we break it down for you. Pat, how you doing, my man?
Big O, what's up, man?
And by the way, you can follow Pat on Twitter. You want to follow a Dolphin great, follow him on Twitter, PSurtain23, and he follows you back. And by the way, he's also a coach of American Heritage, but unfortunately, like his former pro team that can't win big games against big teams, well, the current team he coaches wins big games, and they're in the state, baby, once again. Congrats.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, it was a tough one Friday that Bishop Moore gave us all we could handle, but we pulled it out at the end, man. That's all that matters. So we'll be in our second straight state championship game this Friday up there in Orlando.
Well, clearly you and your staff there can coach big games. You guys want to move over to the Dolphins and try to get us to win big games?
Hey, man, that'll be great. It's just a 3-mile difference in driving. So if you got some pool over there, tell them we'll definitely come here on that.
Are you listening, Stephen Ross? Let's go, baby. Let's make a change. Make that change, as Michael Jackson would say. Come on. Make that change.
And man in the mirror. Yes, sir.
That's right. So who you guys taking on in state?
We play Tallahassee Godby. Pretty good team.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I like it. You like your chances?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we didn't play our best ball this past Friday, but I think – the guys ate some humble pie, and I think we'll play our best game, you know, this upcoming Friday.
Is it easier in today's world because there's more film on teams nowadays that you get to prepare? Because, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you're preparing for a team in high school football, you have no idea pretty much what you're preparing for unless you send somebody to scout them or something like that. So how is it easier to prepare nowadays in at the high school level because there's film out there now?
Well, yeah, they have this thing called Huddle, HUDL, and we get all the teams, you know, film from the previous teams they played. And on Gabby, we have like 8 or 9 games that we can go over, you know, to see their tendencies. And when you look at high school teams and their tendencies, they're pretty strong. So, you know, as a former player, we probably could figure things out. We call them players out on the field before, you know, they actually run them. So, you know, it's pretty fun.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Now, Pat, let's talk about yesterday and how disappointing it is to watch this team fall short once again in a big moment.
Yeah, man. When this just seemed like the past 10, 15 years, man, when the games mean the most, you know, it seemed like the Dolphins shrink under the pressure, man. And, you know, they started off so well yesterday, going up 10-0. The defense holding Baltimore to 3 straight 3-and-outs. And that we talked about yesterday on our show, the drive right before halftime, man, really demoralized the team and gave the Baltimore Ravens, you know, some confidence to come out in the second half. And they totally dominated the second half. And, you know, you got to give credit to Baltimore. But at the same time, man, that's a game we had to win. We didn't come out with our hair on fire in that second half, and the Ravens took advantage of it.
Who do we blame here? Who do we lay the blame more on? Do we lay more on the players, lay it more on the coaches?
Everybody. Oh, blame it on everybody. Offense, defense, blame it on the coaching staff. There's just everybody had a part in it, man, because, you know, some things that we expect from the Dolphins, you know, they're not coming through. You know, we felt at the beginning of the year our D-line, our front seven, was the strength of our team. And teams have just been running the ball right down our throats, man, this past month or so. And I don't know if it's because we're fraudulent, we played some bad teams and got some stats against those teams, but it seems like when we play the better teams in this league, we tend to lay an egg, and that has to change.
For me, I haven't been a Philbin fan, so I wonder where you stand with Philbin. I just don't see him as a difference maker. You know what I mean? It's just when you have those moments and they happen over and over again against the good teams, that's where I want the coaching staff to find a way to change the bad habits.
Right. And you saw the moxie of the opposing coach yesterday. You know, John Harbaugh going for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 35 and 8 with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. You know, if that's not having confidence in your team, you know, I don't know what it is. And we were put in a similar situation, and we decided to take a field goal instead of giving those guys that extra push and say, guys, I believe in you. I think we can make it. You know, we're going for this thing. You know, we're not holding anything back. We're going to go for it. And you know, I just don't see that out this coach. He's a conservative-type coach that plays things, you know, under the shield. And I think as players, you want a coach who's out on the limb, who's going to go for it, who has that confidence in you. And, you know, Philbin just doesn't possess that right now.
And listen, what happened yesterday between Odrick and the coach, I've been around football. I know arguments happen between players and coaches. But I'm just wondering, when you see Odrick and he's screaming at Philbin and he says every week, I just feel like there's a little more to that story than just the you know, two guys getting, you know, hot in the heat of the moment there.
Yeah, because I'm saying you have a 13-week, you know, sample size now. And, you know, for Jared to come out and you know, lambaste his head coach on the sideline, you know, it tells you what the players are thinking. You know, Odrick was just one of those guys who felt the need to speak out against it. And when he says every week, it just seemed like every single week, the coaching staff is making decisions that's putting these guys in bad positions. And Jerry Odrick decided to speak out about that. You know, kudos to him.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at PSirTan23. And, of course, you can catch him on Sunday with me right after that Dolphins-Patriots game. And let's hope for the best there, Pat. Let's see if they can pull out a miracle and sweep the Patriots. That would be nice.
and remember that we're still mathematically in this thing. Mathematically, Big O, we're still in it. So we go out there and pull this one out against New England, man. We still have a fighting chance, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. I understand you're going to go with that, and I'll go with being surprised if they win that one. That would be absolutely awesome, like it was in week one, by the way, which was absolutely awesome, that performance in the second half. I would like to see a little bit more of that, but something tells me, Pat, we're getting a different New England team than week one.
Oh, totally different. Totally different. But let's see what happens, man. Let's keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
Let's hope. Follow him on Twitter, PSirTan23. Pat, as always, man, thank you for the time.
Big O, appreciate you, man.
You got it, man. There you go. Pat Surtain, baby. Former Dolphin great. Gotta love that. Wonder if I got any reaction on Twitter from... by the way, on Twitter at Big O Show, I did just post... girl from what's it called?
The Price is Right.
From The Price is Right. Yeah.
She's got you where you can't even talk, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty bad.
I would have to say that, yeah, that is pretty bad. That is pretty bad. And, oh, by the way, I think the post did not go through.
Are you following her on Twitter now?
Does she have a Twitter account?
Totally does.
Because I definitely would follow her on Twitter. There's no doubt I would follow that on Twitter. Okay, here we go. Now,
and other places.
And other places. Yes, I'm with you there.
Like Facebook. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Instagram. There we go. Now we posted her. Okay. Made a mistake there before. It's a beautiful thing. One guy, Miami Sports Mensch, is asking me how many fans are still rooting for the Dolphins to make the playoffs and how many fans want a complete implosion to fire Philbin. I could never, ever root against my team.
I love how we get this question every year,
though, right?
What it feels like.
Every
and it's
year.
Always right around the same time. Sometimes a week or two earlier, sometimes a week or two later.
It always
happens the past like 5 years, at least since I've been with you.
Or the Andrew Luck thing that started right from the week, right from week one. Hey,
well,
let's suck
for
Luck.
We were that bad that year.
Yeah.
Somehow we ended up, getting 8 wins that year, was it?
Yeah.
8-8?
Yep. Eric Lausen says, I love DMX, not what you expect to hear from Big O Show. Why? Because I'm white? Is that what it is, Lausen? Because
yeah,
I'm white? So I can't hear DMX? It's funny.
I don't expect to hear Gangstar with Adam Cooperstein doing a rejoin right after that.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah, but Lausen's picking the music, so maybe that's what it
is.
You know what I mean? Although, see, if you don't know Cooperstein, and not that Coop and I hang out and we're tight friends or anything like that, but Coop and I have run into each other at concerts and stuff like, so I know Coop is
that's funny.
Big into music, okay? So I know he's big into music. So if you don't know that about Coop, you won't, you know, expect it. Just like for me, you don't expect it. But, you know, if you grab my iPods there, you'll figure out that I like all kinds of music. And especially when it comes to rap, DMX is, he's like my guy, man. That's my favorite guy. Not my all-time favorite voice, by the way. That will still go to my man, Chuck D. That is always going to be the guy. All right, what do you want to do now?
Let's give away a pair of Fozzy tickets.
Oh, let's
Chris give away. Jericho's band.
That's right. Chris Jericho, who's going to be in studio with us.
On Wednesday. The day of the show.
And we'll be at the Culture Room, by the way. So if you want to see Fozzy, Chris Jericho, jamming on Wednesday at the Culture Room. And by the way, the Culture Room is a great place for a concert. We got a pair of tickets for you right now. First caller, QAM contest line, 1-800-227-0560. That's 1-800-227-0560. You win a pair of tickets to see Fozzy on Wednesday, and I'll see you guys there because I'll be jamming on Wednesday with Fozzy. And when we come back on the other side, Sean Salisbury. That's right, baby. He joins us every Monday at noon to break it down. He joins us next. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you, of course, till 1 o'clock. Coop and Crowder, baby. They're taking over at that point. Time to take over now the airwaves with my man Sean Salisbury, of course. And the former NFL and USC great joins us every week to break it down here on the program. You can also check out the Prime Cut national radio show on Yahoo Sports from 4 to 8 every single day. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I get to wake up on Monday not sore and criticized. I get to do all that myself, so I'm good.
It's a beautiful thing, and you don't lose any games either, right? Isn't that awesome?
Right.
Boy, yes.
Exactly right.
Yesterday.
Okay, but it would be coaching would be okay by me. I'd like to coach and have to deal with this on Monday morning, come the bad or the good. I'd love the challenge, so I get why they do it, and I love it, so I'm into it.
Sean, I know you get to coach players, you know, and prepare them for the draft or coaching them up, you know, in their off seasons and things like that. Did you ever want to take the next step and be part of an NFL coaching staff?
Yeah, you know what? I was offered when Denny Green, I got offered, was actually had an office picked out and everything in Arizona. I was offered the quarterback coach job and turned it down when I was at ESPN. My kids were a little bit younger, and, you know, Denny knew how to appeal to me. Matter of fact, when I was playing for him at the end of near the end of my career, he said, when you're done, because he, you know, as a backup, I was into it on the sidelines, and he had come to me during a game one time and said, when you're done playing, you're here, you need to coach with me. And so when we were done and he was at ESPN and was waiting, when he finally got the Arizona job, he called me and said, let's go down this tunnel again together. And I flew out there, and it was the 11th hour, and I made the decision to turn it down. And, you know, I've had there's a couple coordinators in the league. If they get gigs in college right now, if they get gigs that I would really, really consider going. And there's a few guys in the NFL, too. I would love that challenge. If I had to do it over again now, I would probably take it. They go, I love TV and radio, and I love this. But there's also a challenge that you can never get unless you're playing or coaching, sitting in a broadcast booth and talking about it. And, you know, I train a lot of quarterbacks. I just fortunate to land like the number 2 8th grader in the country here from Texas, so I'm excited to start with him as well. And we do a lot of work, and it keeps me close to that part of it. But I study a lot. I still am nuts. I still study a lot of tape and look at it different. But I did turn it down. But I would NFL or college if the right gig. You know, hell, in your neck of the woods or somewhere. I like the college part. I guess it's the purity may not be the right word, but I love the enthusiasm and. And that part I like, and I like recruiting because I like trying to make a difference in a 17- or 18-year-old kid's life and see the light switch go on and see his self-esteem change. And I also like the challenge of the NFL of dealing with grown men and battling, and, you know, you have to go through all the daily things you go through when you have kids and a wife and then have to come to work and put everything out on the, you know, hang it up outside and come in and get your job done. So, and I love the preparation. And I actually like the chaos, dude. I do. I like organized chaos. I like people who have an opinion and people who differ with you, as long as it's not, you know, vicious, I enjoy it. So I will definitely, and this time of year, it always becomes very relevant in my life because new jobs and new people and change in jobs. While I don't like to see people get fired, I consider it. So I definitely, and there's a couple guys that I'm keeping my eye towards, that if they get a gig, then I may go, but I love what I do, but I will definitely consider it.
It's funny how you said I love the chaos, the organized chaos, and it's typical because you're a freaking quarterback, and that's kind of part of, to me, I always say, if you have a quarterback and he needs to have the perfect offensive line, the perfect defense, the perfect running game, the perfect coach, the perfect everything in order to succeed, you got the wrong quarterback. The quarterback I want is the guy that's going to rise above the chaos, because there's no such thing as perfect in the NFL. I mean, yeah, it's happened a couple of times. You know, the Miami Dolphins, Seattle put together pretty close to a perfect run last year. Yeah, it happens once in a blue moon, the Baltimore Ravens. But, you know, in 2001, but overall, most of the time, your quarterback has to be a guy that has to be comfortable in chaos.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Big O, you make a good point. Even in that Dolphins and the Seahawks last year and in the Patriots 18-1 run, within that 18-1 season, during games, nothing was perfect.
Of course.
And when I'm training quarterbacks, you know, and Denny and I always used to talk about Denny Green, and he'd say, he told our team, and when I'm talking to quarterbacks, know who to get and how to get them. And really, that's about 80% of the game. If you know who to get, meaning as a quarterback, what coverage to see, how to get us out of a bad play and get us into a good play. So know who to get. Who's our hot read? Who's the strong? Where's rotation going? Who's our singled receiver? Where's the double team? Where's our matchup? That's know who to get. And then how to get them. Mechanically do it right. Throw it on time. get it to the right guy, get it to him on his front shoulder so he can run after the catch, all those things. So, you know, you teach these guys. I've always believed, and I wasn't one of them. I mean, I was fortunate that I had a great run in high school and college and was able to play 10 years. But, from injuries and doing the rest, I was never that first-round guy who was a starter full-time. And I understood that, but I still prepared hard and studied it and watched great players. I've been fortunate to be around great players. And all the great ones have something in common, and I believe that now. The great ones have something in common, whether it's Rodgers, who looks bored on he just looks like he's got everything under control, is that they're able to deal in some very, very – they love obstacles. They do. I tell young quarterbacks, and I seen them, I said, what I'm drawing up on the board, we rarely in a game do you get to drop back five steps, put your foot in the ground, hitch, and go curl flat, check down, and it just rolls like that. It's exactly like you see it on the board. So that doesn't happen. Now, the best ones are the ones who can – when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, can you keep it as normal as possible? Can you keep it? Can you get hit in the face three or four times in a game, and then the next time you drop back, not bail out early? You see that going on with Kaepernick. Can you drop back and do what Rodgers does? Oh, not that, buy some time with my feet, still have my head up the field. Okay, it's 3rd and 7, no big deal. No big deal. Sometimes the best play, end every series in a kick. Right? End every series in a kick. If we're at midfield and we can't get the first down, you got to throw it out of bounds on 3rd down, it's okay to punt. If we're at the 30-yard line, don't take a sack. We'll kick a field goal. We need the points. That's ending a series in a kick. And then the best one, obviously, is in the red zone, and we go score, end a series in a kick, get us a touchdown, and we'll kick the extra point. And if you have that mentality that going into a game that, hey, there's going to be spurts in this game where it's going to be ugly in every game, whether it's Rodgers or Brady or whether it's Tannehill or whether it's RG3, some have more than others. It's not the problems. There's problems in every game that you got to adjust to. It's how do you adjust to them? It sounds so cliche, but it's true. Your greatest ones don't – watch Rodgers tonight. Watch him through the course. And I know you do, Big O, but when you're watching and comparing him to your favorite quarterbacks, watch how long he stays out of bad series and bad plays. He may have one. He may throw a pick on a tip ball. He may make a bad decision. But they don't fester, and it doesn't become 6, 7, 8 in a row. Now watch RG3. Watch what Kaepernick's doing. Did you watch Joel Stave against Ohio State? 1 and 2 and 3. And before you know it, you've had 8 bad plays in a row and 6 3-and-outs. Brady last night, yesterday, bunch of 3-and-outs last night. And then what's he do? Just keep playing, man. Get Edelman out in front. Boom, he'll make a run after the catch. You go score. That's the difference. And so in studying it, and I would love the opportunity. I like the private training, but I would like, I teach at a lot of camps. But to be able to sit down with a guy and get in the quarterback's mind and take him from a 8 to a 9 or from a 5 to a 6. I think that I would love to do that. It's like a catcher in baseball, the backup quarterback. Maybe we have to study harder just because we knew we weren't going to play as much. But I do love it, and I would crawl 10 miles over broken glass to coach in the right situation now.
Follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, so what'd you think of the Dolphins yesterday? Because, you know, again, kind of frustrating watching them fold against Green Bay, Detroit, and Denver, and they had chances to win in that game. Here comes the game that you're either in or you're practically out of the playoffs. And, hell, they didn't even have a shot to win this game after the first period. Miami was dominated by Baltimore. They had 22 yards in the first quarter. They had 427 the next three, and they outscored Miami 28-3 in those quarters.
So doesn't that now just validate what we were talking about, not just at the quarterback position? I'm talking about everywhere.
Yeah.
Think about it. You're down to a 10-0. You're pretty much forcing them. You're kicking their ass for the most part if you're Miami. And then all of a sudden, one here, they start to run it. Hell, they only ran for about $1.75 or something, did Baltimore. But it didn't start off good for them. It didn't start off good. I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm thinking, man, Flacco's not in rhythm, knocking him around, missing some plays. They're not moving the football. And next thing you know, it only takes one.
Where's the rats at? All right, well, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We headed down the home stretch here.
I think they're guinea pigs or hamsters.
Whatever they are. Anyway, we take you till 1. Coop and Crowder will take over. We're doing our Panther pick 6 going on right now.
That's just racist against rodents.
What can I tell you? Panthers taking on the Blues tonight. How apropos, right? After that Dolphin loss, we are all singing the Blues. So the Dolphins will be taking on the Blues tonight. Let's see who's first up now for our Panther pick 6. Let's go with Mike. Mike, what's up, baby?
Hey, man, how you doing today?
Who's scoring for you tonight to win a family four-pack of tickets?
Brandon Peary.
Ah, Peary. All right, my man. We're going to put you on hold and get your information. All right, Mikey?
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Good luck to you, man. All right, so we put Mike on hold. He wants Brandon Peary. Let's see who's next. Scotty.
Hey, Big O, what's going on?
What's happening, my friend? Who is scoring a goal tonight to win you a future set of Panther tickets?
I'm going old school with Sean Bergenheim.
All right, he's going with Bergenheim. All right, I like it. We put you on hold, Scotty. Hold on there. Good luck, my friend. All right, contestant number three is Paul. Paul, what's happening, my friend?
How you doing, Big O? Big hockey fan from the Northeast originally, back in the Bobby Orr days.
Nice. Very good.
Going old school. Going to go with the only guy I think that could really score on this team, going with Bukestad.
There you go. It's a miracle he lasted this long on the list. He's only third here, and normally he's the first guy off the board. That's a good one because he's already got 11 goals on the season. The kid is playing his ass off.
Yeah, he reminds me of Phil Esposito. Just kind of gets in front of the net, gets in the way. He's got a nice shot, and I'm enjoying watching him. And I'm enjoying the Panthers this year.
Right?
More fans out.
I know.
Fun to watch. I know they're not scoring much, but they're playing great defense. They're fun to watch.
I agree.
They've got a little more speed this year, I think, than they've had in the past, and I think that's what slowed them down. They've got some guys that can skate, and they can stay healthy, Big O. Let's finish 7th or 8th, go to the playoffs, and get some excitement going.
I'm with you there, Pete. I think they can. I mean, Paul, I think they can do it, man. Let's hope they do, and for your sake, let's hope Nick Bukestad wins you a family four-pack, my man. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks, Big O.
All right, we're going to put you on hold, and then next up it is Pete. Pete, what's happening, my friend?
How are you doing there, Big O?
Very good. Who is who's going to score for you tonight, Pete?
I'm going with Hooby Dooby Doo, as usual.
Ah, Huberto.
One day he won't come through for me.
All right. Well, hopefully it's tonight, my man. We put
I'd like
you
to score with the young Russian's wife. She's pretty hot, that Karpov's wife there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man.
No doubt. Nice. No doubt. Russian women, baby. They got it going on. No doubt about that. We put you on hold, Pete, and we need two more contestants for our Panther Pick 6. All you got to do is pick a player you think is going to score tonight. If he scores, you win a family four-pack of tickets to a future Panthers game. 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it if you want your Panther Pick 6. We already got Scott. He got Bergenheim. Yeah. So let me take Mark in Connecticut. We'll talk a little Dolphins with him while we await the other callers. What's up, Mark?
Hey, thank you. Perfect. I was just getting back to work, too. Perfect timing.
Thank you.
I just think that, well, I just want to see if you think that if Sherman was still our offensive coordinator, would we be a playoff team?
No.
Because it seems like Tannehill, honestly, threw the deep ball his first and second year because he was comfortable under Sherman's offense. Now, when was the last time I called you in week 3 and told you we're never going to go deep for the rest of my life? And I meant it. I meant it. It's happening. I can't take it. My brother persuaded me last week or this week and said, hey, it doesn't seem like Glazer showed a lot of plays versus the Jets. You know, we're playing down to their level. And then we scored 10-0. He was like, look, see, you see? And then what happened? Where are those plays? They're nowhere to be found.
I know.
Glazer stinks. Joe Philbin has no balls. And Tannehill, I have no clue what the hell is wrong with them. Thank you. Have a great day.
You got it, my man. Appreciate it. I don't think any of us can figure out what Tannehill is all about at this point. I mean, for me, I've kind of given up on the kid. Pat, you are on, my man. Who is scoring for you tonight in your Panther Pick 6?
I'm going with the hot rookie, Ekblad.
All right, Ekblad. It's a miracle that he's lasted this long. I would figure Bukestad and Ekblad would be gone early. All right, Pat, exactly. we're gonna put you on hold, my man, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
All right, we'll get all your info there. I don't have the name under the guy under Pat. I don't know what it is.
Joe.
Joe? All right, let's
not
go.
Not Joe the intern. Well, Joe the listener.
Joe the intern answered the phone for Joe the listener, and Joe the listener is on the air right now. And who is Joe the listener picking to score his Panther Pick 6 tonight?
Hey, Big O. The guy I followed down here from Boston, Sean Thornton tonight.
All right. We're going to put Thornton on for you. Joe, good luck to you, my man. We'll put you on hold. All right, my friend?
All right, thank you.
You got it. Get Joe's info there. All right, now we do. We go back to talk now. So that's it. Final segment will be about talk. If you guys want to talk about the Dolphins and their sorry state or whatever, you can chime in. By the way, QAM and the Florida Lottery want to send you to the Orange Bowl game on December 31st. All you got to do is listen to the Q all next week for your chance to win an Orange Bowl prize pack. That's two club-level tickets to the Capital One Orange Bowl, two fan zone tickets, and a parking pass courtesy of the Florida Lottery. So keep listening for that Q to call and win an Orange Bowl prize pack from the Florida Lottery and 560 QAM. That's a beautiful thing. You know what's also a beautiful thing? A Cuban sandwich, maybe a steak sandwich from Cuban guys, maybe a chicken sandwich from Cuban guys. How about the pulled pork sandwich? Oh, that slow roasted pork. It is so delicious. And those of you out there, listen, we got three great locations for Cuban guys. We've got one in Hialeah. We've got one in North Miami right down the street from our station here. And one in Kendall on 107th and Sunset Drive. And by the way, there's a fourth location opening up. It's in Westland Mall in Hialeah. And for those of you in Broward and Palm Beach, we haven't forgotten about you. George and the boys, they are growing, they are building, and trust me, they will be up there in Broward and Palm Beach so soon. And I know you listened to me talk about the steak sandwich, which, by the way, today is Monday, 4 p.m. till close. They've got the specials Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 4 p.m. till close today. You can get the steak sandwich, the most delicious, tastiest steak sandwich in South Florida. You can get it for $3. Tomorrow, they've got the Cuban Fritas going on, and on Tuesdays, and that's $2, 4 to close. On Wednesday, it's the $4 steak Cuban bowl. You're going to love that. And it's $4 on Wednesdays, 4 to close. Folks, if you have $10 and 30 minutes, you're going to love this new restaurant concept. And listen, when you talk about those steak bowls, or just the Cuban bowls, period. They start with a bed of white rice, the black beans, the chopped sweet plantains, so delicious, the famous crispy string fries, and then you get to top it off with the pork chunks, the steak, the chicken, the pulled pork, the frito patties, or the chorizo. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. They've got the salads, the garden salads. You can add the grilled steak or chicken to it. They've got the great sides, the yuca fries. They are so awesome, folks. And they've got the beverages, the Coke, the Mateba, the Jupina, the Heineken, the Corona, the milkshakes, the fruit juices. You're going to love it, folks. Check it out for yourself. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Cuban Guys. And check out that delicious menu at www.cubanguys.net. Great tune. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. Final segment before we hand it off to Coop and Crowder. They'll take you till 3. Hawk, Zach, and Shay will do their thing. And then I would imagine you're going to get the big elbow, of course. Alex Donnell right before a little Panther hockey tonight against the Blues. Hey, let's talk about one of my favorites, Espinosa Cigars. And listen, you guys know that I am a cigar aficionado, and I want you to try a new cigar. It's called La Ranja Reserve, all right? Go to your nearest cigar shop, all right? And I'm telling you, if they don't have it, you better demand it from Espinosa Cigars. It is a great smoke. La Ranja, by the way, features a flavorful and fragrant Brazilian La Ranja wrapper. And I'm telling you, the wrapper just adds this flavor that is just absolutely phenomenal. And listen, when you talk about Espinosa Cigars, you're talking about a line of cigars that are absolutely outstanding. You want a great cigar, number one cigar of the year in 2012. It was La Zona Cigar, rated 90 on Cigar Aficionado. Great working cigar for the working man. I think it's a fantastic cigar. You got to try La Bomba 601. That is just an awesome cigar. And, you know, the 601 line, the green is my favorite. It's got that little spiciness, that tingly, spicy flavor to it that is just absolutely delicious. Rich and full body, by the way. You also want to try the 601 Warhead, too. Great full body cigar. It's got that Maduro wrapper that is just absolutely delicious, folks. Nicaraguan, by the way, all the way through. And the wrapper is a Connecticut Broadleaf Maduro. I'm telling you, it just adds an extra boost to the flavor. And it got a 91 rating from Cigar Aficionado, so you know it's good. Try the Espinosa Maduro, also a 91 rating in Cigar Aficionado. It comes in the Espinosa Habano and the Red Label 601. You got to check that out too, folks. I mean, the full line of Espinosa cigars. I'm telling you, go to the website, EspinosaCigars.com. Follow them on Twitter, at Espinosa Cigars. You want great cigars? You want Espinosa Cigars. All right, let's go to the phones, baby. It's 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it, pound 560 for you cell phone users. The text line 56121. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, at Big O Show. And by the way, I understand that we're still having streaming issues. We're still having podcast issues, interviews, all of that. All those technical issues are being resolved. We apologize for the inconvenience. And by the way, I really want to thank a lot of people that have been chiming in. And hey, I'm missing your podcast. Thank you for the dedication to the program. It is flattering. I mean, absolutely flattering. Thank you very much. We will correct these issues, hopefully within this week, and we'll get everything done. You got any news for me?
Today we will have the podcast up.
Okay.
So Bombgard will make sure that that is up today.
Okay, so the interviews may not be up, but the podcast at least will be up. So hopefully we'll have that for you guys. Don't worry, patience, please. We'll overcome all of this in the next couple of days. Our engineers are working tirelessly to try to work this out. All right, we want to register a listener to win, thanks to our friends at Tiger Direct, a brand new LG LED HD TV from Tiger Direct. And we are registering the winners throughout this week so you can win that TV. But the only way to get in is by winning right now and calling in to the QAM contest line, 1-800-227-0560. First caller in, or fifth caller right now to the QAM contest line will be registered to win a free LG LED HD TV from Tiger Direct. 1-800-227-0560. Call in right now. All right, let's go to Fabio. Fabio, what's up, baby? Fabio.
Yes, Orlando.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir? How you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. What do you got for us?
Very disappointed Dolphin fan here.
We all are.
The last 15 years have been, I mean, I don't know. It's just been terrible.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I think that there's some talent on this team. They still need some more pieces. But I think the coaching staff on this team really, really makes a difference. I think these guys have no clue what they're doing. I'm not sold on Tannehill, but I think he's made some strides. I actually like the way he's throwing the ball with some zip. He's leading the receivers now. Last year, he wasn't leading all the receivers. They were stopping. They were catching the balls from behind. I think he can get better. With the right coach, I think he can get better.
As somebody put on Twitter yesterday, and I would have to agree with this one, it was a good line. Have you ever heard of a quarterback that couldn't throw a deep ball and all of a sudden had to learn how to throw a deep ball at this level?
I agree, Orlando. I say if you don't know how to throw a deep ball by now, you probably can't.
So then, Fabio, you're contradicting yourself. He can't get better.
He is what he is. Right. But I'm saying if he can open it up just a little more, maybe he doesn't have to hit the 60-yard pass. Maybe he'll hit 40-yard pass. You know, maybe he doesn't have to go really deep.
Did you watch his attempt to Mike Wallace in the end zone yesterday?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Okay. All right.
That was horrible. It was.
And sadly, that's what he is. Fabio, thank you for the phone call. He's not good enough. That's the thing. He's a great kid. He's tough as hell. He's not good enough. Eric's in Miami. Eric, what's up?
What up, Big O?
Yes, sir, my friend.
Hey, a couple of things, man, on the Dolphins. You know, I was watching that game yesterday, and it was, you know, Dolphins are up 10-0. I think it was 3rd-and-12. Tannehill puts in Daniel Gibson's hands. He drops the ball straight in his hands. Game changes. And listen,
I want filming out. I'm like you. I want filming out. But, you know, plays like that have to be made. Do you agree? I mean, Gibson makes millions of dollars. He hits, Tannehill hits him in his hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to make that play.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mike Wallace is open in the end zone. Tannehill, yeah, you got to make that play.
Make that play. And for the life of me on this coaching staff, I don't understand every week, and this is a fact, every week I see 11 touches, 12 touches, 13 touches by Lamar Miller. I don't understand that after he gets to 10, they just stop giving him the ball. I mean, he's averaging 4 point something a pop. Are you serious? I don't get, for the life of me, why I keep seeing Damian Williams and Daniel Thomas. These guys don't cut it in the backfield. I mean, those are a play yesterday at 1st and 10. They got a penalty on 1st and 5. They have 1st and 5. Where's Lamar Miller early in the first quarter? Yep. They went 3 straight downs with Damian Williams, and it was a punt. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand.
No, it's crazy. No, I'm with you all the way there. It's I know, Eric. Sorry, man. Sorry about the frustrations. Finhead out in Ocala. What's up, Finhead?
Hey, bud. Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't wish Carolyn a happy belated birthday. I was excited last week, and I missed out on that. So happy birthday,
there you go,
Carolyn.
Thank you. And, thank you. She just stepped out of the studio and missed that. But I will tell her, Finhead, that you said happy birthday.
I will. But, you know, I couldn't be more disappointed, as we all are, Big O. You know, everything you're saying is dead on the money. I still think Tannehill has an upside, so we're going to just agree to disagree on that. But
sure,
there is no doubt that this coaching staff are a bunch of underachievers. You know,
And you know what, Finhead, to watch both the offensive line, because the biggest problem yesterday was the O&D lines. I mean, that's where you lost the game. They got dominated on both sides of the ball, which is disgusting.
Yeah, explain this to me, Big O. Explain this, because I was all about winning it up front. I told you last week, we got to win this in the trenches. Baltimore's a bunch of bullies, and how do you beat bullies? You punch them in the mouth. And we beat the crap out of them in the first quarter. I was going nuts in the first quarter because we showed up and we took the game to them. We were knocking their helmets off. And what the hell happened? We go into a freaking pre-vet defense. We start passing the ball on first down. We take Lamar Miller. The guy was on his way to a 180-yard day. Feed the guy the ball. What the hell is the matter with these guys?
Yeah, that was...
If they would change after a quarter of beating the snot out of Baltimore, you start playing a stupid-ass prevent defense. Coyle should be fired today.
There you go. I can't argue with that one, Finhead. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, as always. By the way, did I just see Cooperstein there in the studio? Dude, he's like 8 minutes early.
And he's not in suit and tie and
but he's not supposed
attire, if you
he's
will.
Not supposed to show up to like 30 seconds before the show. That's
right.
What he normally does.
Well, I think there was no funeral procession in his way this morning.
By the way, Wednesday, we're going to be at the Culture Room jamming with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho will be in studio with us on Wednesday. So we'll have some fun with him. And Fozzie will be performing at the Culture Room. And we're giving away some tickets. We're going to give away another pair of tickets right now to the first caller to the QAM contest line, 1-800-227-0560. So you can see Chris Jericho and his metal band, Fozzie, on Wednesday. And I'll see you there on Wednesday because I'll be there jamming. 1-800-227-0560. All right, we thank Miko Grimes, Pat Sertan, and Sean Salisbury for joining us on the program. We also thank Joe, super intern, always getting it done, Brandon Rodriguez, and Caroline Granado, the finest producers in the business, as always. Gotta love that. Let me see. Jim is in Orlando. Jim, you got 20 seconds. What do you got for me?
Hey, I just want to say yesterday I was so disappointed. First time in about 30 years I turned the TV off. I'm coming down for the Jets game. I hope to hell that I don't have to sit around a bunch of damn New York Jets when I come down to that game.
Oh, well, they sucked. They suck so much they won't be showing up. So you won't see that many, Jim. Thank you for the phone call. Tony, you got 20 seconds.
Philman even said it in his interview. He's not smart enough. He said it out of his own words, out of his mouth. He's not smart enough. Also, Big O, quick question. Is Tannehill just not reading the blitz? Does he not know how to point out the mic? Thank you.
You got it. Dude's limited. I don't know what he knows or what he doesn't know. All I can see is he's not good enough. Coop and Crowder are next.